So this bear wants to now take me to another mate of his who wants to go for like a 3 or 4 hour fisting session.
Is that all?
Yeah. Mm. Exactly.
I thought this story was going to end better. Jeez.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on. There's always got to be some follow-on.
Well,
something to look forward to.
I suppose fisting is extreme. Whatever.
Exactly.
So speaking of bear, one thing that comes up in the bear community all the time is what is a bear? Here's another question. Well, bear, cub, otter, I think are kind of the like three labels of the bear community that are mm-hmm. most common, right?
No. I would say bear, cub, and daddy.
Bear, cub, and daddy? Oh, yes. Yeah, those are right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but daddy. Daddy has a different type of label. Mainly because I really mm-hmm. think it's a modifier label. If you
yeah, I would agree.
That it's, well, we can't just go daddy. It really usually comes along with some other label. So like daddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just kind of a type of bear. Or
yes.
A daddy otter. Although I've never heard that.
Yes.
Mm. But, I mean, we have all these different labels in addition to just these kind of like the core features, right?
Yes, yes.
So what the hell do they mean? And
well,
in relation to bear, and how does that work? I suppose you would call this defining the name. No, that's not a good title.
No, but we'll find one. I'm sure we will.
Finding a definition. There we go. Finding a definition. There we go.
Well, fair enough.
We have a title. It's early in the show, too.
Okay.
So finding, because we got like bears and cubs and otters and daddies and wolves and pandas and chubs and chasers and mirers and gainers and there was another one I had. I couldn't remember what it is.
It could be anything the way this is going.
Because that's what I'm saying. And there's some which I don't even think about. Like I suppose another thing that I feel is similar to daddy. Like daddy is usually goes along with just bear. So I suppose that's not it. But then you have leather, which is kind of putting people into kind of I wonder if that's kind of like the kind of one of those crossover people that there's the leather community, there's the bear community, and they're one in both, you know, in the kind of Venn diagram sort of thing.
Yeah.
So,
well, I've been having this discussion with a few people lately myself. First of all, let's just say that there was the clone look back in whatever time, say 80s, 70s, that, you know, being gay, you had to be a certain look, which is the slim, fit, slender, well, pretty much the same as most magazines portray these days. There was, you know, the whole being gay also had the connotation of you were camp and very feminine-like. Well, there was a
fall out your mouth. That sort of thing.
Pretty much. So, you know, there became an opposition culture within the gay community to this particular clone look. One could argue it was the leather community. Basically, you're a big butch, you know, had to be into the manly men sort of thing of clothing and design and dress and, you know, the way you hold yourself. The bear community could be said to have come out of that in terms of being the leather community. You also had the connotation of kink and you had mm-hmm. to be a certain way, whereas the bears kind of took that same mold of saying, yeah, we're not girly men or anything, but we like, appreciate, and admire just, you know, the non-clone look, the big, the beefy, hairy, just other body types, basically. And that's how the bear community kind of came about from all accounts that I've heard.
Yeah, they're the Huskarian homosexual, as I like to call them. Just it's kind
pretty
of
much,
nice
pretty
generic much. Term. Because, you know, Huskarian homosexual, that could mean a lot of things. I mean, besides the homosexual part, that's pretty easy. That's straightforward. But the Huskarian husky part, husky can be defined in very different ways. Because husky can just mean that you've got broad shoulders, you've got just kind of that bigger build, but you're, you know, your body fat's like at 0.3 or something like that. You know, you could be a very muscular, you know, or plenty more, but, you know, or as I, the opposite, you know, you're fat. But usually you have kind of that broad shoulder type thing. So you got this nice range of things. For example, you have Bear Magazine, and you have, what's another good all bear magazine when you take a look at, you know, content. So you got one extreme or another, and they're all classified under husky. So, with that whole range, that still has this nice broad area. Hairy can be defined as just you have a hairy face, you have a very hairy belly, you have a hairy chest, you have a hairy cock,
you have hairy butt,
hairy butt. You know,
so all legs.
So I and you know, the amount of hair can be different for each person. You know, maybe you got a really furry face, a huge beard, but you're like Dean Cain and hairless on your chest and belly. You know, but I would still classify them as bear, and they're still hairy because they've got that nice bushy beard, right? Or
yes,
you could have somebody with no beard at all, but like awesome furry chest and belly. They're hairy too. So that nice range of hair, there's also that nice range of hairiness. Like, you know, I've got some hair on my chest and belly, but you know, my legs and my butt are probably much furrier, and I've got a nice furry face. So I'm still hairy, even though my torso isn't as hairy. So I would still, you know, that still comes into that husk, and I'm husky, got broad shoulders and got some pounds on me. 230 when I went to the doctor this last week. I lost weight.
Oh, okay.
Because I've been advertising that I'm 255. I'm 230 now.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I was at the doctor.
Congratulations.
245. You know what? No need to congratulate me because I haven't tried to do anything and I haven't wanting to lose weight. It's just a thing. I don't think it's anything to congratulate me for unless I was actually trying to lose weight. But I'm
perhaps not. But you are saying it. You if are I, seemingly wait, saying it with a.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I'm kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, think of it in a positive manner, but no, it's not that special to me. It's just a thing.
Okay.
You know, I probably have to update my profiles now. I'll say instead of 255, 230. So 25 pounds less. There's plenty of me to go around, folks. Anyways, where was I?
Should we start taking tickets?
Yeah, there's a reason why I'm as a revolving door. Anyways, don't forget to stop at the ATM. Anyways, where was I?
So we've kind of explained that there are a bear community. So now we subcategorize a subculture of a subculture.
Man, that's very meta.
So it is.
So we got the bear, husky, hairy, and homosexual. And you could pretty much classify pretty much anybody, I would classify at least, anybody that's in that subculture, no matter what their sub-label is, a bear. Just in general, a bear. I would even call those folks who love bears, or which you could call mirers or chasers, they are still bears, being that they're part of the bear community. Those people who have nothing, want nothing to do with it, they are not bears. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But in a general global overlook of this whole situation, all of them are bears in one way, shape, or form. But then you break things down.
Yes.
You've got those quote-unquote generic bears. You know, they're just They're not really any of the other categories, but they're bears. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with them. Sometimes they have some modifiers, like maybe a big bear, daddy bear, you know, a leather bear. You know, they have those little monikers as well. But, yes. you know, in general, they're pretty much, you know, generic bears. Not a problem. I love them. Then you've got what you and I classify ourselves, cubs.
Exactly.
Now, here's where it gets a
little... So what is a cub to you?
Now, a cub, because I've always had, and I've always liked describing, there's this continuum. This, you know, cub is one of those main blocks of the bear community. You've got bear, you've got cub, you've got otter, and you've got this fourth category, which I still consider to be puppy. I'll explain it later. So,
please do.
Cub, I think, is, I feel, typically, not all the time, but typically, they're typically younger, possibly less hairy, usually some sort of hair in some place form, more playful. I think the more playful part of it is really more where the cub comes in. That's kind of the more, you know, I wouldn't say that they're bottoms. You've got top cubs, for me, for example.
Yes. Yes.
So I can't say that would be a reason. I suppose more cubs are bottoms. Like more, a good majority of cubs are bottoms. So maybe considering that as, you know, more towards the stereotype. But, you know, it's not a necessity. But I think playful is probably the better thing. Like a bear is just a bear, and the cubs are more playful. You know, they kind of maybe younger acting, because you can have a 40-50-year-old cub. You can.
Yes,
it's true. And you can even have some bears which are in their 20s. So age does not define a cub. It's more of mental state, I suppose. And then we have kind of, because the bears are husky, hairy, and homosexual. Cubs are husky, hairy, homosexual, and more playful, you know, or the younger set of mine. You move over, if you take away the huskiness, switch it over to slender, so kind of a different body shape, typically not fat. Like that's almost gotten rid of. Less fat, not as husky, but more towards the slender side. Typically hairy, not necessarily, but typically hairy.
Yes.
So this kind of the smaller bears, almost, that I would call an otter. So we go more for size in that direction. Size. So that's where the otter comes in. This is kind of a sideways movement from bear. Now, that's a sideways, and cub is kind of going down, just kind of like thinking the age type thing, you know, maybe not age specifically, but because of the whole playfulness, et cetera. So we've got kind of this two continuum. You've got size and shape and mental state. I'm not sure if that's what you would call it. So you've got these two different continuums. The bear is at the bigger, older, for lack of a better word. I wouldn't say more mature, just, you know, not as playful. Then you go down to the playful, you got cubs, but still keeping with the size thing. Then if you keep with the, you know, more mature, less playful, and go to the other side, we could have otter, which is kind of weird because otters, when you think of otters, the actual animal otters, they're all cute. They play with the pond. It's so cute. And everything. But you know what a baby otter is called? I believe.
A pup?
A puppy. So if we take the otter and go down to that more playful thing, that's where puppy comes in. And believe it or not, I used to be a puppy. There's a reason why I'm referred to as Box Puppy. I just never changed my title.
Okay. Now, we have to distinguish here between the more commonly used term of puppy in the reference of puppy play as a kink, like a role-playing kink.
That's kind of the little dangerous part of it. Although, although honestly, the whole time I've had this box puppy name, no one has ever asked me about puppy play. Ever. No one's ever said anything.
Ever?
I swear. Cross my heart. Or I forgot. I don't know. But
you forgot, because I think I may have mentioned it.
Oh, you might have mentioned it, but you knew that I really didn't do that thing.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Yes. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Uh-huh.
All right, so tell me. Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. About the...
Not if you're going to sing that song. What would you like to know? Puppy play, as in the kink?
Yeah, tell us about puppy play. Tell me.
Okay, puppy home. For those who are aware of the master-slave sort of relationship where, you know, you can get the slave dressed up as a gimp and tie them up and all that sort of stuff, so too can be with the puppy who willingly, as a slave does, dresses up in whatever apparel they can to best represent a puppy, be that a hood or a puppy tail butt plug or whatever they have, and are quite literally treated like dogs in the sense that they're expected to go fetch things and roll over and play dead and all those sorts of wonderful things you do with a puppy when you're trying to train it and so forth and so on. And, you know, even to the point of being fed out of dogs' bowls and putting cages and just literally acting out as if they were a dog. A lot of people do that to perhaps get back to a more animalistic roots. And as in all role-playing roles, get used to or getting into a mindset not of their own.
And they've got there's like if you go to some leather websites, they do have like utilities like the little mask, which is in the form of kind of a German Shepherd snout or something like that. So
definitely,
gets into the whole puppy thing.
They even had at Folsom last year a whole puppy training kind of hour where they all these owners of puppies basically gathered in one area and just had a little training session.
Nice.
Very interesting to watch, I'll tell you.
That would be interesting to watch. Whether I'd actually do anything, well, no, I stay with that. So puppy I still consider as, you know, in that spectrum. So I consider that as part of – I think that is for the general spectrum of the whole naming conventions. That is how I classify things. Agree or disagree?
Agree to a point. There are a lot of other terms which haven't been discussed yet, such as wolves.
Ooh. What is that? I've never figured out what that is.
Okay, so if an otter is a slim, somewhat hairless kind of person in the bear community, a wolf would be a very similar build, but on the hairy scale. So a very hairy, lean, quite often a well-manicured beard, moustache to some degree. Think of Johnny Depp, but hairier. That would be what a commonly understood wolf would be considered.
So it's a little sump with how the hair is set.
Yeah,
up.
Basically redefining based on just sheer physical attributes.
Because it says if you go to Wikipedia under bear quote or parens. Gay culture prints. Wolf is a term for a muscle bear who is rugged, outdoorsy, or biker type. That's
I would just more consider Muscle Bear a Muscle Bear in its own category again. Be that well, hairy
I think,
or
not I think Muscle Bear is where it's definitely a lot less hair. I mean, Bear Magazine. That's all I pretty much have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bear Magazine is Muscle Bear Magazine, really. And as I said, they're bears. Nothing wrong with that. As I've said before, they are a type of bear, and honestly, they are typically less hairy than those that I am more attracted to from, like, bear films, etc. So Muscle Bear is pretty much a guy who's pumped so much that he has less hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's like okay. His muscles are impeding hair growth or something.
Now, something I'd like to ask you in terms of your attraction to not necessarily the muscle bear. I'd like to understand, do you know why you're not attracted to them? Like, were you ever attracted to them at all, or has it been kind of as you've grown older, it's been a difference and change?
I'm weird because some people that could be classified as muscle bears, I think, are absolutely fucking gorgeous. I'd be drooling.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if we were going with, like, my perfect bear, I mean, he would be definitely husky, hairy, homosexual. While I do tend towards the more chubbier, those who are less kind of like those really muscular guys with plenty of padding. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Kind of like a muscle guy who kind of let himself go.
Okay.
Or something like that. That
now, we
that
all,
has
we,
some...
We, what I was going to ask is, when you were younger, did you always consider that, like, the ideal shape? Or were you actually into muscle guys at a younger age?
I never really thought about it, is the thing. Because, I mean, personally, I didn't come out to myself much less anybody else until I was just getting out of, you know, high school and into college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my coming out to some of my college friends my freshman year was actually me coming out to myself at the same time. Like, I actually at one time thought I was bi.
Don't laugh. I still do.
You think I'm bi?
No, I think I'm bi.
Oh,
I've just never tried it.
Yeah, I know. I like teasing one of my girlfriends from high school saying that she turned me gay. Not high school, college. She turned me gay. Because the day I kind of figured out to myself that, no, I am not bi, I am flat out gay. It's man to me, not woman. Get those boobs away from me. It was after a night of making out with one of my girlfriends in college. So, okay. And like, I had no idea what to do with those whole breasts thing. It just seemed weird to me. Which seems weird because I play with guys' nipples and suck on them. And I'm like, you know, I'd probably do the same thing with a woman, right? If I attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, no. Just there's something about women's breasts that frighten me. So, I mean, that's just personally me. So then at that point in time, I came out to myself as gay. Nothing against her. She's awesome. She's my friend Jen. I love her. But no.
Hi, Jen.
I don't think she listens to this show, but that's okay. She'd probably be mad at me for telling that story, but that's okay. I'm saying that's okay a lot.
Okay. Backtracking now. The reason I asked about your attraction to muscly guys, I found when I was growing up, my attractions changed with my self-esteem and my own body image. I wasn't as large as I am now. and I found I was attracted to guys basically my build and muscular. So I was, at the time, I was a cub in all, or otter actually, in all shapes and forms. Didn't identify with the bear community until, you know, 5-6 years down the track. So my attractions were quite broad at that stage. Mm-hmm. And I found over time, because of the rejections and pretty much the shallowness attitudes of guys who I generically found were, you know, a lot beefier and muscular, yeah, it kind of came with the builds. You know, look at me, I'm so great and wonderful. Well, yeah, the more you kind of publicize your own self-image to the point of vanity, the less attracted I become. So that's why I asked the question.
And the thing is, I still have that range of guys that I'm attracted to. Like, I like the big bears. I love the big bears. But, you know, there's these guys who are more to the muscular side. Again, I like the ones with the padding. So mm-hmm. if you don't have any padding and muscular and hairy, I'm probably not attracted to you.
Thanks.
So I think it's a cutoff factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which kind of, you know, this kind of leads into the term chub. You know,
yes.
and the fat men and chubby bears and big bears. Like, I like saying big bears because these are the guys who identify as bears on our, you know, in the Venn diagram of this whole thing, that crossover between bear and chub. You know, they probably just yes. identify as just bears. They're hairy. They've got goatees. They've got things. And there's some, you know, chubby guys that I absolutely are like, and who I played with. And you know what? I enjoy my times and I like doing it. And you know what? I think this is kind of, you know, as I said, padding. Well, they have a lot more padding. And it's a cuddle factor. They're, you know, I don't know about you, but fat men are cuddly.
Yeah. Again, I have a cutoff factor, but in the opposite direction.
Mm. Hmm?
I enjoy a certain level of cuddliness, and then it gets to a point where it's unattractive because it's gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can see what you mean by that.
Yeah, and I'm not one of those who say, you know, moving on to another term, gainer. I'm not mm-hmm. a gainer. You know, I'm not an encourager, and I don't want to be with a gainer.
Yeah.
I want somebody who they kind of came the way they are just from being who they are, not from, like, purposely trying to gain weight. If they end mm-hmm. up just being fat because of genetics or just eating too much, you know, just because that's what they do, not because they've been trying to – that's great, but and I'm not one to really get into the whole super chub, yet another term, thing where you're getting into the 400. Then I'm like, dude, you do need at least some weight.
So but, you would consider a super chub based on the measurement of weight,
yes,
rather than sheer body shape.
Well, and chub really does also talk about weight, just chub. Because I could have somebody that's chub who's 300 pounds, maybe 280, mm-hmm. you know, still in the 200s, which is really my sweet spot is probably within $100 of myself.
Okay. You know,
going weighing more than me, probably within 100 pounds of me is probably the sweet spot for mm-hmm. for how I like people. For my range, probably more of a little less than 330.
Uh-huh.
You know, that area is where I'm comfortable with my cuddle factor. So I'm not one who like saying bigger is better. So it's not like I'm interested in a 500 pound guy. There's a certain line.
Yes.
And I think, sure, you can, you know, be fat, you can be, you weigh a lot, but, you know, there's a certain point where, yeah, sure, weighing 300 pounds can still affect your health, but weighing 400 pounds, that is unhealthy, period. And mm-hmm. sure, if you lose weight to 300 pounds and stick around 300 pounds, more power to you. But that 400, 500 pounds, so, no, something's wrong with you. You're starting to impede your ability to move.
Yes.
There's that certain when it comes to going up in weight. When it's coming down in weight, that's where it kind of gets iffy, because I wouldn't say that within 100 pounds myself, so somebody who's 130, no, that's too skinny for me. I've been interested in some guys who have 180. It also deals with, then it becomes more of just their shape, their weight, cuddle factor. I mean, because you could have somebody that's 185 who's very cuddly. As you know, I slept with the one. But anyone, you know, getting 150 or something, too skinny for me. Again, for me. Other people, that's something else.
Okay.
But, I do go the other way. So I'm not just looking for somebody who's weighs more than me. It's more, it ends up being that whole body shape thing where cuddle factor, hairiness, and, you know, padding. I don't have to be muscly. Sure, I like muscly guys, but I could totally live with somebody who's not muscly at all.
Okay.
But, you know, somewhere in the range, which as long as it's 200 something is probably my sweet spot area of where I like my men to weigh.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the idea. 300, if they hit 300, great. That's fine. You know, but I think that's
just quickly. Mm-hmm. Can I throw your mind?
Yeah, sure.
Given the variation in height, I'd like my guys at least 120 kilo to maximum to about 75-80 kilo at their slimmest.
Okay, hold on.
Exactly. Now you know how I feel in the last 5 minutes with the difference of conversion. Hello to all our Australian listeners.
All right. So 90.718474 kilos to 136.077711 kilos.
Yes.
That's my conversion. Now, all right. So what's your low end?
Say 80 kilos.
80 kilos. So that's about 176 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not being kooky and going into the points. I'm just rounding now to high point.
Well, I did say 120. Let's go 110.
110.
Sake.
110 is 242.
Mm. So there you go. That's my preferred age range for those who would like to know.
Okay. So you like the lesser weights. I like the more weights. And exactly. We got this nice 42-pound range. Probably a little bit more because, as I said, I slept with the guy who's about 185 pounds and he's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Such an adorable, cute cub, and his ass was just so tasty. Anyways,
and I can confirm that it was not I.
Yeah. Any case. So
yes. All right. So that's,
by the way, thank Google Instant for doing my conversions for me.
Yes. Now, something I do want to touch on in terms of the chubs and super chubs and all that sort of stuff. Originally, the bear community did not necessarily associate with the chub community. And I think depending on where you go, that's still the case. And in other places, such as Australia in particular, the bear and chub community are one and the same.
Yeah, I could see that. And I think that I think the big thing is because when you go to actual chub events, honestly, they're a lot less hairy than they are at bear events. I mean, yes. Just fur factor here. Don't get me wrong. You have the furry chubs there, but most of the chubs that are there, one, usually tend to weigh more than guys who go to bear events. End up being like really, really big. And you really got a lot. And the main focus is the fat, the chubby. Well, yes. At a bear event, it's not just about the fat. It's about the hair. The round bellies are nice, tend to be a lot. The weight of bigger Vegas versus bear pride is probably the average weight is a lot higher at bigger Vegas than it would be at bear pride. Don't get me wrong, they're probably pretty high on both sides. I wouldn't be surprised if 250 to like anywhere from 230 to 250 pounds. Hold on.
Thank you, Google conversion, for this current break.
104 kilos to crap. To 113 kilos.
Yes.
So that range is probably somewhere where the bear pride stuff are. I think. I could be wrong. I haven't actually weighed people. But
well, it's a fair call though. But within that sort of tolerance.
Yeah. But like at like bigger Vegas, we're probably looking at more like 136 to 181 kilos, so 300 to 400 pounds. Okay, so I gave it a larger range for that, but you see that difference as to for average weight at the two different locales.
Yes.
So but there's lots of bears, self-identified bears, who are big bears, chubby bears, who have this crossover into the chub community. In the whole Venn diagram of communities, there's this big portion that cross over.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Huh? Anyways. So you got over there, you got pretty much chubs and chasers. It's pretty much the two big categories, although they do have one called bears.
Yes.
You know, they have this bear, which is kind of like the not so chubby and hairy husky guys who are not really chasers because they're not so skinny. I mean, chasers are really is more of a nomenclature for someone who is skinny and is looking for these fat guys.
Yes.
While I think admirer kind of gives him more range, I would say, although there is a couple on XTube called Big Bear and Chaser, and the chaser still is a pretty decent sized bear. You know, when you think chaser, you really don't think this guy. He does not look like a chaser to me. But, you know, his boyfriend, though, is massive. So we definitely got the big bear, and he's kind of chasing this bigger bear, and he's kind of big himself, but he's kind of more of that muscular, you know, let himself go plenty of padding type guy. So I suppose he's a chaser. I mean, I suppose that would be a good example of how any of these definitions don't always work.
No, because The other thing that we have to quantify here is there's two variations of labeling. One's a self-identifying label and one's a label that we put on others. Mm. And quite often what we see in ourselves could be completely different. I'll give you a perfect example. I consider myself a cub. Mm-hmm. Now, for those who perhaps aren't aware of the bear community or who are a lot more scrutinizing than one's own perspective, is that I would be considered a chub for the simple fact that I'm fatter than what a lot of people would consider a cub to be.
And I can tell you right now that a lot of people in the bear community would not consider you a chub.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. They would definitely... Most of the people in the bear community, I think you are probably one of the poster children for cub. Mm-hmm. I mean that in the nicest way possible.
Thank you.
Me, on the other hand, I don't know. Like, if you didn't actually know me and you just kind of saw me at Folsom or something, what would you immediately classify me as? Without talking to me. Just kind of looks.
Given that I haven't, that I wouldn't have seen you naked or anything, I would consider you a chub.
Really?
Yeah, I would. And that's the biggest crossover in that kind of labeling is that, what I have grown up and learnt as what would be considered a chub for my variation could be completely different from what you've grown up and you've seen, because being from two different cultures, although westernized, and have a lot in common, we all have our own perspectives of, and that changes from town to town, tribe to tribe, et cetera, et cetera.
Interesting.
Now, there are some labels that also have other crossovers. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Daddy is a one that has a lot of variation and crossover.
Oh, yes. There is such a range of daddies.
So, as far as the bear community goes, quite often a daddy bear also can be described as a polar bear, depending on... particularly how old the person is, if they're showing signs of middle to late age in their hair, so they are actually going white. And also, the build, the attitude, as I have constantly been told over the last week, because that's something we've spoke on our show recently. So a daddy bear has a wider connotation. And I also have wondered... in saying this, is there a non-bear version of a daddy, or is daddy the overall encompassing term and polar bear is the equivalent in the bear community?
I think that polar bear is the equivalent in the bear community. Because daddy, okay. I think daddy in general has that things like, have you ever heard of a silver fox?
I have.
Yes. Silver fox would be kind of like a polar bear, except much skinnier.
A wolf version of a daddy.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I could see that. That might be a good way of saying it. Because every time I switch over to the daddy category of XTube, most of those guys are skinny. I wouldn't classify them as bears. But there's plenty on there that I scroll through, and they've got bearish daddies and, a daddy bear. But the weird thing is, it's like, because daddy can also be just a state of mind, not necessarily. Like, polar bear is just, the older – it really more is about color of fur, hair and beard and everything. That's pretty much what it is. But not all daddy bears are polar bears. So you might have more of that, when you go into that whole kind of idea of the daddy-son relationships, that's something else to talk about.
I'll cover that in a few minutes for those who are curious.
Usually, like generically speaking, not necessarily in the whole daddy-son relationship, but daddy bears usually end up being kind of like the caretaker bears. You know, they find a young cub and they get together and they're loving partners. They have a great relationship and mm-hmm. and they tend to be more of the caretaker. They're the one who's the breadwinner of the relationship. The other person is being essentially being taken care of the daddy bear.
Usually, that isn't always true to form, but
yeah, it's not always like an extreme, but maybe it's just a slight thing. Like he makes more money or something like that.
That too. But there's also a mentor student sort of, aspect to the relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where the older gentleman is usually training the younger in a particular aspects, you know, be it in the bedroom or in life or whatever. And the mutuality of that relationship could be that the younger person is learning something from somebody he both loves and trusts, but the older person is actually getting the joy out of knowing that somebody's actually getting something out of what they're teaching them.
I can see that. So, is that what you would consider the daddy-son relationship, or is that where you're going next?
Well, that pretty much is a daddy-son relationship. There's also a daddy-son role play, which is can be involved in the relationship, but also can be pretty much the incest sort of role play, where one literally is the father of this other person, be it true or not, and there is that whole discussion interaction where it's you're edging on taboo of cultural norm.
Interesting.
I
think kids sometimes be hot. Anyways,
could be.
Now, another thing going along the lines when it comes to names, you also have, as I said, the modifier terms for bear. So you've got, we talked about polar bear, panda bear, which is more of an Asian bear, which tends to be less hairy, mainly because of their Asian descent.
Usually the genetic of Oriental or cult. Asian descents, I do believe genetically they don't produce as much body hair because of the warmer climates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because of the Asians tend to be less, but even though they're called panda bears, mainly because pandas are from China and China is Asian. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, we got black bear, which is, of course, just, you know, a black bear.
Dark skinned.
Yeah, that's pretty... Yeah. Yeah, but have you heard the term brown bear?
I have, but I have not understood its context.
Hispanic.
Oh,
so you're Mexican, Puerto Rican, probably some of those South American bears might be considered brown bears. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, all of us white guys are just bears. We don't get any actual... name to distinguish.
Well,
but it could.
I suppose it did derive from us. So yeah.
Yeah, but so then the question comes to is it really more? Is it more that bears in general, or that the bears who are out and about, they're mostly white guys. Mostly.
Usually, yes. You know?
Ends up these three categories, Asian, Hispanic, and African American, black guys, they're few and far between in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which kind of makes me sad because, you know, I've seen plenty of hot brown bears, hot panda bears.
Oh, yeah.
Hot black bears. So but we don't see them as much in the community, and because of that, probably gives that they just kind of add that in. It's what do I want to say? Us white guys have subverted the queer community or something. I don't know. Anyways, a couple other terms here. How about Grizzly Adams? Have you heard that?
I've heard the term Grizzly Bear, but not Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, Grizzly Bear kind of makes sense. And yeah, Grizzly Adams, according to Wikipedia, this time in the Chub Gate culture section, was a man with a typically hairy body and face who does not identify as a bear but is attracted to bears, which makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I've always believed a grizzly to be.
Well, this is Grizzly Adam, so I mean that's slightly different.
Yeah, I don't know if it's derivative or not. I suppose could be.
But yeah, grizzly bears tend to be the kind of like, maybe not the chubby, you know, kind of chubby, the thicker maybe bears, and tend to be very hairy.
Yes. There's also such thing as a Borg bear, which is a very techie but not necessarily well connected kind of bear.
Am I Borging right now?
I believe you are. I believe you're demonstrating this Borg bear quite well, at least as we speak.
Oh, okay. Well, that means we're just going to hang up and drag it. So, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, I'm back. And there he is.
Hello, and welcome back.
And do I sound Borgian? You sound fine, so.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much. No, we are quite fine with the Borg at the moment. I believe you decimated it quite well.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you try disconnecting and reconnecting? See? Rebooting always helps. Anyways, where was I? Another term that I found was trapper, which is probably another name
trapper,
for chaser.
Okay.
That's another name for chaser. Yeah. Man of smaller stature who is attracted to bears.
Mm-hmm. Now, a chaser doesn't necessarily always mean that's the only identifier they have. That only implies their attraction to, not necessarily a self-identifying label. So would we have any other labels we would use for if a bear was to refer to a chaser? Would we call them just a chaser, or would we call them something else?
A admirer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had some people term. I mean, like, if you listen to Bear Podcast with the Nard.
Hello, Nard.
He has his chaser shows. Which, by the way, mm-hmm. I think practically all of the chasers that he has on the show is are Asian. Just saying. I think he has, like, one or two non-Asian chasers.
Again, that could just be the sample of who he has to work with.
Yeah, that's true. I could probably see that. But that's also going to the stereotyping and everything. Anyways. Yeah, anything else? Any other names, titles?
Not that I can think of, but again, I just want to clarify a few that we have spoken of and a few variations to the terms you may not know. There is another variation in Daddy, and that is, for those who are aware of, baby play.
Oh.
That is where somebody can be or again, like puppy play, instead of a puppy, it's actually a baby. So you're dressed up, you put in a nappy and given sippy cups and all that sort of interaction between two people. A daddy could also be referred to in that particular role-play instance. And then there's the quite literal daddy. So he is the father of two living or a living child or more. So I actually know a few daddies, and quite literally dads in their own right. They're also referred to as daddies depending on the relationship.
Interesting.
Now, again, relationship-wise, if you were to find two guys who were defined as being partners, one was slightly younger than the other, and they were both of bearish build, how would you address them, or how would you refer to them as?
Could you repeat that?
Two guys, partnered. Mm. Yeah. One's younger than the other, mm-hmm. and they're both of bearish build. How would you refer to them?
Hi, guys. It would be one of those things where I have to kind of get more to them,
Okay.
Because if they both look like bears, I'd probably think they're just bears. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of bear cup relationship.
Aha, that's what I wanted to touch on, the bear cub relationship. Now, not knowing the couple, and you saw them at the other side of the bar or mm-hmm. restaurant, as the case is in yours, because I know you don't go out to bars and clubs. Mm-hmm. You were sitting with a friend and you pointed over to the couple who you thought were quite attractive. Is it a social faux pas to refer to them as a bear and cub, not knowing that that's how they identify, or not?
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a faux pas per se. Mm-hmm. I would think of it more of, because that, I mean, in general, that's actually a very, very, very common relationship type in the bear community.
Yes.
Like, majority of the couples end up being some sort of bear cub couple. It's just kind of how we kind of evolved. But, you know, whenever I refer to anyone, I always refer to them more as a couple, not specifically saying bear or cub. If somebody says, oh, they're a cute bear cub couple, I would look at them and be like, oh, yes, they are a cute couple. You know, I wouldn't think of that as necessarily a faux pas. It's just a term mainly used because of commonality.
Mm-hmm.
Right way of using that word? Anyways.
Yep.
Because it's so common, you know, that's just kind of the way it is. And I wouldn't be surprised if we go over and start talking to the couple. It's kind of a bear cup couple. But I also know plenty of couples that are really bear, you know, or cup mm-hmm. cup. You know, two cubs. So,
yep.
So being that way, it's more of it, because the whole bear cub thing is a lot more about, you know, personality, and mm-hmm. you know, there's a different type of factor in it that,
yep.
That's where things are more of, it's more of, you have to actually talk with them before you can really define anything or make any sort of suggestive judgment.
Okay.
That makes any sense.
It does. It does. The other question I have is, in terms of coupling, do you find a lot of the cubs go for older or significantly difference in age guys, such as bears and polar bears?
I wouldn't necessarily say age. I can see more of cubs going to bears, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't necessarily define that as age. Sure, there's a common thing where, you know, in my 20s, I wanted to date somebody who was in their 30s. I mean, honestly, right now, as a cub that I am, I would prefer to date someone who is older than me.
Now, why is that? Because it's something that, again, me and the Cubby House crew have been trying to define as to, is this a common thing and why is it?
I don't know. I think it might be like one of those security things where kind of like getting in, like, I want somebody who will take care of me because they're older and wiser. Probably somewhat daddy-ish, you know, kind of along that lines. But I also feel like people who are younger than I am are not as mature as I am. And it's a turnoff for me.
Okay.
So I think it may be a maturity thing. Just a flat-out maturity thing. Does that mean I wouldn't date somebody who's younger than me? No. It's just less likely because I wouldn't be thinking about going out with them or anything.
Okay, fair enough.
That's a good question.
So do you feel we've clearly defined as many labels and terms as we can in this show?
Wait a minute. Is clear definitions even possible for this thing?
I suppose not. It's merely our own perspectives. And I guess in time, labels shall define themselves. Because the bear community is only young. It's only in its 20th year, you know, within its 20s, I believe.
Yeah. The big thing I really want people to see is have you seen Bear Nation yet?
The movie?
Yeah, the documentary.
No, I have not.
You should. If you ever get a chance to see the movie, you really should. I really... I think the movie best, quote-unquote, defines a bear. And I really put that in quotes by saying that it feels like it's going into... Like, the goal of the movie is to... define what is a bear, you know, answer the question, what is a bear? And it goes in there, it defines it and fails. Like it purposely fails, kind of showing that it is, you can't really define what a bear is. You kind of show the bear community. So you kind of get that idea going, but still it ends up coming out to be, you know, you can't specifically define it because there's so many different things that can happen. Like you could be a husky and homosexual guy and be a bear. You can be a hairy, not husky and homosexual bear. The only part of husky, hairy and homosexual, which was kind of the tagline on the bear handbook, was about guys who are husky, hairy and homosexual, which I think is the closest definition that doesn't work you will ever get when it comes to the bear community. But the one part of that entire thing that I think must be in place is homosexual. Sure, I'll go with bi, trans, that, you know, that sort of thing. But the idea for bear is really it's a gay subculture. So I think straight bear is kind of a misnomer. It's more of a bearish straight guy.
So you're saying someone like actual bear. Say Kevin Smith, a well-known comedian,
bearish, who
is not homosexual, cannot be defined as a bear.
No, but he can be said to be bearish.
I'll have to disagree with you on that one, but I think that's only because of the circles we walk in, where bear is a very, very commonly used term for our own. But I do believe there are variations which can apply to people such as Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I still think bear-ish would be fine, but he is not a bear. Sorry.
Fair enough.
That's all I got to say.
Now, I did mention my podcast, which
tell me what's going on. Something strange in
the House of Denmark.
Dungeon Studios, yes. Yes. The Cubby House podcast is no longer a podcast, but a full blown project. We're actually now live on radio. We podcast all our shows, and we're now a full blog posting system as well. So we've kind of expanded the media empire, that is. And now, in saying that, one of the downfalls of this, is, of course, is our main link was hacked. The main link is now only a redirect link, so I can give you the actual full link, and that is thecubbyhouse@livejournal.com. If you want to go and have a look at that and all its glory, that is our new website. It has all our shows, and it also has details for those who don't know our problems with Apple and the iTunes store. We've submitted our link many months ago, and they are still saying it's being processed. So if you want to manually link it up through your iTunes, we have details on how to do that there.
Okay, where is that? Where is that?
Where, you ask?
Yeah, I'm like on the site.
I do believe it will be... good question, actually. About us.
No, that's pretty much just your profiles.
Yeah, Mr. Cookie, that's the new team.
Mr. Jack,
it could be
Kevin, who looks so somber.
Yes. Yes, like, well, considering he is my housemate, it's a fun thing to kind of wheel him into the system. I don't know where it is, actually. Feeds. Nobody's watching this. Yes. Fail whale. Come on, where are you? It was here. It is a post somewhere in our posts.
See.
Go earlier. So you're going to have to go all the way back to our first post. There we go. 9th of January. We're going to have to make a link to this. Subscribing to the Cubby House. It will be our 9th of January post. And it tells you, in all honesty, how to subscribe. And if you want to look for it, it's Damn Apple, RSS, or subscribing are the tags for it.
Okay, so. Said it was January? Is it January of this year or last year?
This year, 9th of January this year.
Here we are. See, that's why you click the archive link.
Yes.
Oh, it's back to the C-Pod.
Yep, that's our original hosting through Joy 94.9. For those who are familiar, it's Melbourne's gay and lesbian radio station. So you are more than welcome to look us up. You can even listen live when we're broadcasting online, which means you'll hear all the music we play, and then you will hear on the podcast none of the music we play, but you'll get bonus content such as extra interviews we've done throughout the week as well.
And of course now I'm downloading it because I finally got it subscribed properly.
Excellent.
All right, still we've got cubsoutloud.com with our links. We have nice little logos right on our page under your section that says subscribe. Got a link to iTunes, a link to the RSS feed, a link that will immediately load it into the Zoom player for you. So please, you know what? We want to hear from you because I'm lonely. I almost forgot to do a show because I wasn't receiving any feedback.
No.
So go ahead and email us at
at podcast@cubsoutloud.com. You can call us at 361-COL-TALK. And don't forget to post on the blog. Also, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/CubsOutLoud. And excellent. I think I'm good at my plugs. Any other plugs that you want to plug besides your butt?
No, I think you've got that one covered.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. That's it.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.